Now, we are going to move on to the government and the firm, the report from the Office of the Data Protection Commissioner to the government over the operation of the Public Services Card. 3.2 million of us have the card, and at the centre of today's furore, what Helen Dixon describes as mission creep of the project beyond its original brief, and that mission creep being declared unlawful by her office. Here's some of what she had to say on the Mornings Today with Sean O'Rourke programme.
We've had concerns around what could be classed as mission creep, and there isn't necessarily a problem with the mission evolving over time, so long as the lawful basis from a data protection point of view evolves with it. And we had particular concerns then in autumn of 2017 when the Department of Employment Affairs and Social Protection published a schedule on its website that detailed a whole range of public sector bodies other than the department itself, that were very imminently going to make procuring a public services card and producing it mandatory in order to secure a service.
That was Helen Dixon speaking on RTE Radio this morning. The mission creep she referenced, of course, relates to the use of the card spreading beyond the brief of the Department of Employment and Social Protection into areas such as passport applications and driving licence applications. She also outlined the measures the government must now take to right its wrong.
So to some extent, there are choices for them. What they have to do, and around which we say there is no choice, is they have to implement better transparency for the public around what is involved. And they have to delete the supporting documentation that they collected. They must equally stop issuing new cards for the purposes of individuals availing of services from other bodies. As to what they do as a resolution to that is a matter for government.
And that was Helen Dixon, as I say, speaking earlier. The Minister for Social Protection, Regina Doherty, she was at an event this morning at the Gormanstown Army Camp in County Meath, and this is some of what she had to say.
We only received the report yesterday. It's a very comprehensive report, and it took, I think, a considerable amount of time to compile. So we're going to consider the report and issue a full response as quickly as we can.
What do you say, though, to people out there? I mean, there's the Irish Council for Civil Liberties saying today that there may be legislative issues down the line for people who have these cards.
I think, to be fair to the Commission, they took 2 years to give us the report. We only received it yesterday afternoon. It's 172 pages. We are considering the report, considering its findings, and I'll issue a full statement as soon as I can.
Maybe look at having to scrap this card.
As I said, the findings, and there are 8 of them, just to let people know, there are 8 findings amongst the 172 pages of the report. We started considering those yesterday, we're continuing to do it today, and I would expect to issue a full report and a response to the Data Protection Commission as quickly as I possibly can.
Well, that was Minister Regina Doherty speaking earlier. We're joined from our Limerick studio by her opposite number, Willie O'Dea, for the Fianna Fáil Party. Willie O'Dea, thanks for joining us. Are you happy thus far with what the Minister has been saying this morning? She'll await a full report and then comment in more detail.
Well, you know, she hasn't said anything yet, so there's nothing to be happy or unhappy about.
In fairness, though, it's 170 pages, it's complex, and she says there's 8 parts to the report. She doesn't want to be pushed into perhaps saying something might be injudicious.
Yeah, I agree with that, but let me make the point that under the law as it stands, the Commission are precluded from publishing the report, but the Minister can, of course, publish the report, or as an alternative, she can give the Commission permission to publish the report, and I'm calling on her to do so now immediately so that we can all have access to it, so we can all have an input, and so we can all determine exactly what Helen Dixon is saying, or what the Data Commissioner is saying. But nevertheless, the main points are very clear, namely that there's no legal underpinning for the extension of the public service card to other departments, other public bodies, other than the Department of Social Protection. That is something which we have brought consistently to the attention of the Minister, that the lawful underpinning was shaky at best. I always took the view that the 2005 Act, Section 241, which is the basis of this legislation, that it didn't enable the government to extend the public requirement for the public service card to services from other public bodies. I always took that view, and I'm glad to see that I've now been vindicated by the Information Commissioner.
At the heart of all of this is the illegality of what the government was doing. It was asking people to obtain the public services card in order to access state services other than those directly provided by the Department of Employment Affairs and Social Protection. In other words, if you weren't in receipt of some class of a benefits payment, you were being asked to get this card in order to access other services of the state. It's been going on for quite some time. Are you surprised at the delay or the level of time it has taken from when concerns were first raised about this to today?
Well, you know, the Data Commissioner decided to do this investigation back in the autumn of 2017, as she said, because the Department of Social Protection issued an information guide on the public services card at that time, which indicated a number of other public bodies where people would be mandated to produce the card before doing business with them, such as, for example, applying for driving licences, etc. And it was that which prompted the Data Commissioner to do her report. I don't blame the Data Commission particularly, because it's a very, very complex area. Section 241, for example, of the 2005 Act has been amended no less than 28 times. And that Consolidation Act of 2005 was itself a consolidation, you know, of bits of previous legislation. So there was a huge amount of research involved. But what I am surprised at is the intransigence of the government and the way the minister, you know, roundly rejected any concerns which we raised and which were raised by respected bodies such as the Irish Council for Civil Liberties. She ploughed on. She produced more cars at taxpayers' expense, despite the reservations that had been legitimately raised.
And yet you, as a government minister yourself in the past, will recall that you rely on the best advice you have from within the civil service, within the various departments, as to whether what you are doing is lawful and legal. Surely you must respect that Regina Doherty, was acting in good faith at all times.
Well, you know, ministers aren't automatons to just automatically accept every bit of advice they get. I mean, the fact of the matter is that I myself, you know, without access to any of the backup civil service or access to the Attorney General's office, it was clear to me, and it is quite clear, as Helen Dixon says, from reading the wording of Section 241 of the 2005 Act, it refers only to social welfare, benefits, to people interacting with the Department of Social Protection. There is no mention whatsoever of any other public body. So, you know, it's as clear as a pikestaff, as plain as a pikestaff. And, you know, I'm amazed that the minister and her advisers did not take cognizance of that, and did not take cognizance of the legitimate concerns which we were consistently raising both at Dáil, in the Dáil and at committee.
What are you expecting Minister Doherty to say when she does issue a statement, perhaps in the Dáil or perhaps sooner?
Well, I hope she issues it sooner. I know that this matter has been referred to the Public Accounts Committee. Are going to discuss this matter in September. That has been already arranged. It was arranged before the recess, because what they want to determine is that now, with the restricted use of the public services card, now that it has been determined that the law only enables it to be used in conjunction with the dealings with the Department of Social Protection, whether the cost of it represents proper value for money as against the benefits which the government and the state and the public are getting from it. And that is a very, very legitimate question, and I'll be very interested to hear the deliberations of the Public Accounts Committee on that. When the minister makes a statement, I'll expect her to explain, to accept that there's no legal underpinning, and to, you know, outline what the government's intentions are precisely in this regard. Are they going to go on and do a whole lot of work to find a public underpinning for this? In other words, are they going to proceed with the mission creep that Helen Dixon referred to? Are they going to allow the public service card just to be used for the purposes for which it's originally intended, namely to combat social welfare fraud? That was the principal purpose initially.
Willie O'Dea, we'll leave it there, but thank you for joining us from our Limerick studio. Let's talk to TJ McIntyre. He's barrister and he's chair of Digital Rights Ireland. He's also with the School of Law at UCD. TJ McIntyre, thank you for joining us. You have been raising concerns about the public services card for quite some time now. Are you happy with what with today's report from the Office of the Data Protection Commissioner, that aspects of this card have been deployed by the government in an unlawful manner?
Well, I'm glad to see the report. I should point out, though, that this has been going on for some time. And in fact, the DPC's office itself first raised concerns a decade ago now at a meeting in late 2009 about the use of the PSC as a de facto national ID card. So when you hear the minister saying that this is a report they've only just received, they don't know how to respond to it, it's worth bearing in mind that they have now ignored and bulldozered past literally a decade of warnings from the DPC's office, from civil society organisations such as Digital Rights Ireland, from the opposition, and they don't appear to show any signs of recognising that or indeed any contrition for what they've done.
3.2 million people in this country have a public services card. There are around 4.7 of us all together. Is it something that is of concern beyond, if you like, those people who have a particular interest in civil liberties, perhaps a particular interest in or a particular worry around just how much information the state has on its citizens? Presumably many people get on with their daily business and may even find the public services card a convenience.
Yes, so let's think not just about the piece of plastic, but the underlying database, which is the real concern. The problem here is that the Public Services Card scheme has consolidated into a single location in the Department of Social Protection information on people, which is highly sensitive and in some cases, in the wrong hands, dangerous. So the Department of Social Protection has a particular track record of snooping. You've had individual employees snooping on friends, neighbours, family for their own gratification. You've had employees selling access to information to private investigators for insurance companies, for example. And the problem here is that by putting all of this information in one place, in an organisation with inadequate controls, with a history of disrespect for data protection, you create a real risk, not just, of course, for snoopers, not just, of course, for...
And of course, but TJ McIntyre, the reason we know about these instances of snooping and so on is because the government agencies, the government protections are indeed there to find out, to dig out that kind of activity and shed light on it through the courts. I mean, the reason... We have had incidents, no doubt, but they have been punished appropriately, surely.
Absolutely not. I mean, we've seen just today that the department has not even admitted the wrongdoing found by the DPC. In fact, this is strike three, I should point out, just last week.
We leave that there before we get sidetracked down that, because that could take us down a whole different avenue. But on the broad brushstroke now, what do you and Digital Rights Alliance want to see happen into the future with the public services card? Do you want to see it abolished completely? Do you want to see it constrained within the Department of Social Protection? Or are you happy that it is extended to some areas but people have improved rights? The sort of... perhaps rights that Helen Dixon was talking about earlier with regard to the destruction of supporting documentation around the processing of the information that's in those cards. I presume these are things like photocopies of passports and so on.
Well, bare compliance with the law would be a good start. But ultimately, the whole PSC project is flawed. It should be scrapped and rethought from the ground up. There are government ID cards in other jurisdictions which have been well thought out and implemented in a secure way. The PSC isn't one. In its current format, it is a scheme which the government has spent a lot of money on, desperately looking for justification. It's effectively a solution in search of a problem.
Many people will look at the public services card and will say a lot of money has been spent. At its core was a good idea to protect the exchequer, the taxpayer, against welfare fraud. Is there a model that you can see going forward that would allow that to continue?
Well, I think as the e-voting fiasco previously showed us, good ideas and good intentions aren't enough. We need competent implementation which complies with the law. We can have that. We've seen examples from other jurisdictions. The government as a whole has been doggedly resistant to doing that, and indeed I anticipate that they will resist these findings also. As I say, I think the existing PSC scheme is flawed and really needs to be rebuilt from the ground up.
Digital Rights Alliance's TJ McIntyre and UCD lecturer, thank you indeed for joining us this lunchtime.